Hi, everybody. Dave Hodges here. As I know, I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're going to do some unenslaving with regard to knowledge of the economy. And I venture to say most of the country, I'm going to say two-thirds, really have no idea what's coming because most of you haven't lived through the 70s as an adult. But it could be far worse than the 70s as well. And to untangle this economic mess, we've asked Robert Kudla to come on the show and talk about this, and then talk about the things that he's doing to try to, well, let's say, thwart this takedown of the American economy. Bob, welcome to the show. And it just, every time we talk, every 2 weeks, it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave. Look, you know, I think now the policymakers can't even hide the fact anymore that we're going from this quote unquote transitory environment to now it's becoming a step up in the cost of living, and they quite frankly don't know what to do. You know, you and I talked about this before. They went from, I think they thought they had this thing controlled and in the bag. You know, we had this this medical condition that was been affecting the country. They thought they had a plan that going into 2021 here late 2022 that they're going to be past it and that they're going to go ahead and pass these infrastructure and this whole secular change to the way the United States operates. And they thought they would be now with a long-term control of the country from a political standpoint. And I think everything that they've tried blew up because I think a lot of these people don't, they believe their own propaganda and they just didn't apply common sense. And they doubled down every time they were wrong. And then Virginia hit them square in the face, but it wasn't just Virginia. And so now with the inflation, you know, embedded in the economy, and they don't know what to do. You know, they can't fix the supply chain issue because it's really coming out of China and somewhat out of the ports of Los Angeles, Long Beach, because then they're affecting their union buddies. They can't touch energy because it's coming out of Russia and Saudi Arabia and they cut our own throat. And then with Canada doing the same thing, with stopping any new production of oil and gas in the country, they're creating an environment where they don't understand the cascading effects of higher energy costs. You know, one thing that people don't, and I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but what people don't realize is a lot of the trucking in this country are independent operators. And if they don't get paid for the fuel surcharge that's happening with energy costs, they just won't run their rigs.
I saw another mitigating factor with truckers. I saw a really good interview with a trucker with 30 years experience, and he is an independent contractor, and he said that when the pandemic hit, Trump did something really smart. He said, we're not going to enforce the hours limitation on truck drivers. He said, by the time that we get our load and go through all the paperwork that the Biden administration is making them go through, he said, we only have 3 or 4 hours the first day. We can't make money doing that. He said, that's why the truckers are having a problem. And he said, I'm sick of Biden blaming us for what he caused.
Yeah, I mean, the truckers, they're going to be one of the daggers in the heart of the Biden administration. Because they pissed off Saudi Arabia right out of the gate. They pissed off Russia even before they took power. And then we cut our own throat with stopping the any kind of production here and any taking any offload from Canada. So that is the number one thing. But here's the thing, Dave, that is going to start to cascade, that's going to freak everybody out next year, is that the price of ammonia went from $100 to $1,000. I don't know if that's like 1,000 cubic feet or whatever it is, or pounds for production, but that's used. That's the primary input for food production.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're talking coffee. You can't grow coffee around the world without without fertilizer every year, okay? Because the tropical zones are notoriously nutrient poor, okay? That's why they always had to burn down the forests, you know, when they harvest it, because they took the minerals from the burnt wood, and then they can grow crops for a couple of years, and then they move on to the next field, the next amount of forest to burn. Well, you can't grow coffee without fertilizer every year. So if you're talking about a 10x move in ammonia, is that the farmers aren't going to get the coffee prices high enough fast enough, and they're just not going to be able to, either their production is going to collapse, or if they are more well financed, their coffee prices are going to go through the roof. And that's not just coffee; it's anything that requires ammonia onto the ground. Okay.
What are some other things that require that? I'm not an expert in this at all.
Corn.
Corn.
You know, probably the number one thing. And so corn goes in everything, all the way down to pigs. All manufactured food has corn syrup or corn starch. Corn feed. You know, when they make corn syrup, the dry waste from that gets fed back to the hogs. You know, so we're going to see orders of magnitude higher prices in everything if they don't get that under control. Totally self-inflicted wound. Totally. And we're going right into a global solar.
Well, when you say it's self-inflicted, educate the ignorant here. How was it self-inflicted?
Well, they're just not allowing increased production of natural gas in this country. We can stick a straw in the ground anywhere in this country and produce natural gas, Dave. They're blocking it.
Is that an ecology argument?
It's the Green New Deal argument.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I meant by ecology.
But I think they don't. These people are. Well, you got the blindly ignorant, you got the useful ignorant, and then you got the psychotic people, right? And then you got everybody else that's not paying attention. Well, they're paying attention now.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So, I don't know. I don't want to go down the ecology trail. The thing I was wondering was, is there a way to satisfy both masters in terms of being environmentally friendly and still meeting these energy needs? But apparently the Biden administration has said no.
No, they don't want to. It's the same argument with you know, things we can't talk about, right? It's either my way or the highway on every one of these things. We're dealing with the Pope and Galileo right now. Okay. Mm. So Galileo is the American people and the Pope is the Biden administration. It's just that they are not going to change their religious convictions on all their mantras.
Yeah, okay, they're inflexible.
Really good point to me. They don't care if they lose the next election, these people. They're religious zealots, okay?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, because after Virginia, I thought we might see a quiet period from the Biden administration, and the very next day, it was more the same, only more intense.
So, yeah, he doubled down.
I totally agree. Along these lines, too, I talked to a couple of political experts, and they gave me their opinion. I wanted to get your reaction. Kamala Harris, after Virginia, has been sent off to the COP26 convention. Do you think she's going there for damage control to say, hey, we still got things under control, even though the people seem to be in a political uprising?
No, they just got rid of her.
Okay. Okay, hide her out in Europe, right?
Yeah, because, hey, we don't want her anywhere near anything right now.
Well, that's an important conference. I don't think you'd want her there. I think she could do more harm than good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Everybody's ignoring it anyway, so the media just won't show her, right?
Okay. So, before we went on air, you mentioned transitory inflation and another type of inflation. Can we explain those terms to the average person?
Yeah, so transitory means that, like, in the spring, oil goes to $100 a barrel, but by the fall, it's back to $60. That's transitory. Okay. And then it goes from $60 a barrel to $100 a barrel and it stays there. Now you just embedded a 40% increase in your energy costs that will then cycle through the rest of the economy over the next couple months or years.
Well, some low IQ moron from the Biden administration said that inflation is good. It shows that people are buying things. I'm going to let you respond to that. And I know, remember, this is a family show, Bob.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me. The Fed always says it too. We're looking for 2% inflation. Yeah, the American people want their cost of living to go up 2% every year, and they got to fight with their employer to stay ahead. Oh, and oh, by the way, you get embedded in higher and higher tax rates as your salary goes up. So you can never, first of all, you're behind. Your employer will never pay you fast enough to keep up with inflation. And then the federal government likes it because they just move you in higher and higher tax brackets as you go.
Oh boy.
So that's why these people are, they're idiots. And the only reason why they're doing it is they look, the wealthy, own all the assets. So obviously they want asset prices to go higher. And because they very little of their wealth is tied up into living, they don't care about if your cost of living goes up. So they're fine. They could just keep acquiring more assets.
You know, what you're describing is something I've talked about in education. Here's the parallel, and I think this might help people understand. There was a time, and I don't know what the rate is now, but let's go back 20 years ago. There was a time when education costs for the university level were going up 8 times faster than the cost of living. And people say, how can this go on? This is terrible for the youth. And I said, hold on, hold on. I said, if your kid has a college degree and a rich kid has a college degree, the playing field is somewhat more leveled. I said, if they can price you out, they don't care if it goes up 8 times, the elite. They've priced you out. Or you can go into expensive student loan debt and you'll be paying that off and not competing with their kids. And if we go back to what you just said, it sounds like they're saying, we like it when prices go up, we'll make more money, and we'll drive people further down the economic ladder who compete with us.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly what they're doing. And the other thing too that people don't realize is that once you cross over certain adjusted gross income thresholds, you lose benefits too. So, if you're in Social Security and you're working too, once you make over a certain amount of money, they start taxing your Social Security up to 100% of it. And so all of a sudden, your cost of living goes up higher than the 5% they're giving you, and then your boss gives you a raise, because he's a good guy, right? Or gal. And next thing you know, you're like, well, wait a minute, now I'm getting taxed on my Social Security because I'm making more money than I was in the past. I went over the threshold. So now I have a choice. Do I have to work less hours? Do I have to quit and find a different job that doesn't pay me as much? See, you get trapped. And it's not just Social Security. You're talking about child tax credit. You're talking about Section 8. You're talking about food stamps. You're talking about other housing allowances. You're talking about Covered California. The subsidies they give for health insurance. Everything. Everything. So we're now all trapped in a vice that was not done by accident. Okay, this is a plan. And so I think what they thought they were going to be able to do is to make it a fact on the ground and you got to suck it up, buttercup. Or what's happening now is that the chaos is overwhelming their ability to control the narrative. And I think it's going to be it's a disaster for all of us because we're going to live with this just like with Jimmy Carter. I mean, it took Reagan 2 years to extinguish this flame, right? After the Carter years, and I think it's going to be probably even more so now because we have so many more people retired. So it's going to be very interesting, Dave.
The
Sad.
well, it's going to go from sad to depressing, and maybe even hopeless. But let me ask you this question. I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this. Are there any insulating capabilities that people have? For example, you run Trade Genius, so let's use you as an example. What are you doing to help your investors stem the tide of this terrible onslaught? Because I think the worst place to leave your money is the bank.
Yeah, and also the worst place to leave your money is into stocks that aren't going to be able to maintain lift as inflation bites. Well, what we've done at Trade Genius, Dave, is that we have a couple of really effective algorithms, and we've noticed early on that the energy sector, the food sector, within energy sector, the uranium, natural gas. Within the food sector, the fertilizer stocks, and then also in the precious metals area, not yet silver, not yet gold, although they're getting close, but platinum and palladium are all getting bid. And so what we've been doing with our clients is we've been placing them in those trades. And we've had spectacular success in doing that. And how we do it is that we provide them with our indicators. We also have chat rooms where we can communicate. We have an ability to send them trades every day, in which we do. And then we teach them how this methodology works.
Cool. That's very cool. So, how do the cost of getting in is coming in and purchasing the education items, the bundled, non-bundled?
Yeah, so if you want to take advantage of it, is that we put some bundles together, Dave. We 65% off. We trade crypto. You see Bitcoin today is going through the roof.
Yeah, I saw
So
that.
we
Yeah.
so yeah, so we trade cryptocurrencies, we trade the stock market. We have a room that trades more exotic stuff with options and futures. And you can just pick one of those bundles. They're already pre-discounted 65% off. They're very, 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 very value priced for people to be able to take advantage of it and quickly recover that investment. And then if you just want to pick and choose something, just use promo code FALL and you can take 40% off of anything that's not bundled off. And if you take advantage by Saturday, you'll get those pricing. So I encourage people to do it. We've been doing this a long time, since 2015. We think we have a good pulse on the macro trend, and then within that, we just let the algorithm find the best prices. Like, we got into EXK on Friday, it's up nicely. We got into SILG, it's up. We got people into the MARA trade, early, which is the Bitcoin miners. So there's a lot of places where you can make money. And to answer your initial question is that you have to be in things that are going to outrun the inflation that's coming.
Exactly. That is a great point. Let me ask you a question on this too, because we've talked about Trade Genius before. The market, people, average people are taking big hits right now. Are you guys still winning 2 out of 3 trades?
Yeah, so here I'll pull up my thing right now. So we're approximately 65% win rate. As of today, we're 64.49% win rate. This is on nearly 500 trades, and we're averaging an annualized 201.86% on the trades that we're taking.
What does that mean? Can you break that down?
Yeah, so we're in the trades an average of 3 days. So that our average trade wins 2%. That's net of all losses. That's the win rate, 1.94%. So it annualizes out to about 200% win rate. So depending on
Is
what
that a
percentage
return
of
on
course.
investment? I'm sorry to be ignorant, but is that a return
Yeah,
on it?
it's a return on investment of that trade.
Wow. You're
Yeah,
saying
so yeah,
annually
it's not
worked
a
out
what's
200%.
that? Yeah, so it's not a portfolio because you'd have to be 100% invested in everything that we give you. You know what I mean?
I understand.
Which is
Yeah,
not
I get it.
realistic, but anyway, you're gonna outrun anything you can do in this with anybody else. So and these aren't we're not chasing crazy stuff. And this is stocks. It's not even crypto. Cryptos we're doing even better. So with stock, these aren't we're not chasing penny stocks. We're not chasing any of the flash in the pan stuff. These are solid companies. I'm talking about PLG for platinum, EXK for silver, MOS for Mosaic. We're chasing energy names like XLE and Matador, clean energy stocks like CLNE. So things that people would recognize, we're trading those.
My goodness gracious. I hope you have operators standing by because you're going to be deluged with those kind of stats, that's phenomenal.
And we've been consistently doing this, you know, well, since the beginning. We have a good system. It is a solid system. We call it just, you know, get rich slowly, but you're going to get rich. You know, but you have to follow the signals, and you have to learn, you have to understand, you have to apply yourself. But after a couple months, you know, you'll see trades that I see them as I see them. So, you know, we're going to educate you. The best analogy I give people is like, look, we're going to put you in the right fishing ground. Okay. We're going to teach you how to fish. We're going to give you fishing equipment, and we're going to give you fish. So
let me ask you a question as a nervous person. Okay. So I sign up with Trade Genius. I go through and I do all these vignettes and I learn what you're doing either through non-bundle and bundled items. Now comes time for me to go on my own. Do you give any support at that point, or are people just kind of going to cast their line into the ocean by themselves?
No, they can just throw a question in the chat room. Bob, I'm thinking about buying this. What do you think?
Really?
Yeah, and then I'll just answer them back saying, let's look at the chart, or I don't like it, or I like it, or this is why I like it, or I don't like it. Yeah, of course. I'm in the chat room.
You see, you have these algorithms too. I don't want you to betray any trade secrets.
Sell to you, by the way. What's that?
How do you do these algorithms? I mean, what are they about?
Yeah, so they're primarily about money flow and trend. So the deep dark secret of trading is that, you know, price action, right? So determines a trend. So if you see prices going up, and then you see money coming in as prices go up, there's a good chance the trend's going to continue. So we look for these reversals in trend, and then we see if those trends are going to manifest themselves into anything more. And we put out buy signals. And so, you know, it is a probability game. If you win two out of every three times, and if your win rate, that's called the profit factor, is positive, you can't help but make money. And so we have a high enough win rate with a high enough prop factor to make it worth your while to do it. And that's all we do.
Okay, so here's my doubting Thomas question. Why isn't everybody else doing this?
I think a lot of people, the thing about trading that we've noticed is that a lot of people chase what we call the shiny nickel, right? So if you go out on the internet, everybody's chasing Tesla, or everybody's chasing this or chasing that. And what you have to realize is that once it gets out on social media, you're behind, okay? And also people that have competing services, sometimes they're trading their own book ahead of you. So they'll put you in something they already own. You lift the stock for them, and they get out. So that happens.
That's unethical. Should be illegal.
But people do it. And so the other thing that happens too is that, especially if they're what they call low float stocks, Dave. So if a stock doesn't trade a lot of shares, you can literally move it. Okay. So if you're trading ahead of your customers, you know, and look, it happens all the time, Dave. And I'm not talking about just other service, but Goldman Sachs does it as a living. Okay.
Wow.
Right. So, you know, those guys, they're always front running their people, and so you could see it. And so you have those situations, and then people that have their money, you know, just managed with ETFs. You have this situation called market capital weighted stocks, meaning that Tesla, as it goes up in price and value, and as a percentage of the portfolio of the ETF, it becomes more and more and more important. And so it creates these imbalances within these portfolios. When it goes up, it's a good guy. Everybody's stoked. But when it reverses, it's a nightmare. Okay? And it can happen fast. And I'll give you an example. Look at Moderna stock, right? You know, we know all about Moderna, right? It's been a darling. Okay? It lost 35% of its value in 3 days, Dave. 3 days. So if you had your money in an ETF that had Moderna, the first day you can't really do anything about it because everybody's kind of unaware. By the second day, you're panicking. By the third day, you already lost 30%. So that's when the market turns over, where people, they're going to have a come to Jesus moment with their portfolios. And then money that's professionally managed is that, as long as things are going up, everything's good. But when things stop going up, is that you have everybody on the same side of the boat. So we think our system sits in a sweet spot, and it's we consider ourselves white hats. So we don't chase penny stocks. We don't chase low floaters if we can avoid them. We're just in stocks that everybody can understand. Most of them have options associated with it, so that they're what's called liquid, meaning that there's enough shares that are trading every day, and they're in the markets that of the area where the where money is flowing into. So it's a simple process. You know, trading's not difficult, Dave. It's hard. And what I mean by that is that you have to follow the rules to make money.
Yeah, it sounds like if you have some discipline, though, you'll do okay.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why we do what we do, and why we think we do better than most, and we do good enough, you know. And you know, there's a phrase that I like to use is, you know, perfection is the enemy of good enough. So if you have a high enough probability and a high enough profit factor, and you can make enough money to make it worth your while, then that's our system.
Okay. So if you were a baseball manager or football coach, you'd be an analytics guy, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I don't let the numbers control me, but if there's a guy that can constantly slug it out of the park, I want to hire that guy. You know what I mean? So, you know, so I'm more of a stock. You don't have to be so analytical with stock. You just have to, know springtime's here. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And summer's coming.
Seasonal. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. So, and I mean seasonal by, look, there's an ebb and flow to this. Stock trading is a sine wave. Okay. So you can see it coming. It's like nobody should ever be surprised, you know, unless you have an earnings report coming up and stuff like that, which we tend to try to avoid those because those are unknowns. So for the most part, though, if you can see the money flowing in, then you're gonna be fine. Where the people that struggle the most in this, Dave, are people that what they call FOMO it. They heard something, they saw something. It broke out this morning. They chase it and it pulls back. They get stopped out. And then next thing you know, they do that three or four times. They lost a ton of money and then they quit. Versus you see the trend changing, you take a position. And then you work that position as it rewards you. And if it doesn't reward you, you got out, but you got out low. You didn't get a big pullback. So that's what we do.
Yeah.
So thanks for
totally unemotional, but let me ask you this then. How much do you factor in news events?
You know, we ignore news events other than we're careful around employment reports and we're careful around Fed meetings, okay? Because those are potential changes. But a lot of times news, especially bad news, if you get a quick sell-off, they typically get bought back, okay? So a lot of times when you see things in the news about a stock, they're trying to get you to either sell something they want to buy or buy something they want to sell.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, since I brought up Trade Genius as the example of what we're talking about, people are going, okay, there's going to be some there and say, I'm flocking to this because it sounds good and it is good. You've stood the test of time with high winning rates. How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so just go to tradelikeagenius.com or tradegeniusacademy.com. And, you know, you can call us, you can email us, you can chat with us, and we'll be happy to put you in the right package that works best for you. And there's a number of different levels. So you can get into it at a fairly low initial cost and kick the tires, or you can go in there and pick one of the packages. You know, the bigger bundles give you better value. And so... So we price it for a bunch of different options.
Okay, well that sounds pretty good to me. Going forward, what do you project for the market as a whole?
Yeah, so we think there's a secular change, and energy already took off. Uranium is going to be a secular long-term play because just the amount of nuclear power plants are being built in China and India alone will support a doubling or a tripling of the uranium prices. And now we're starting to see a movement in platinum and palladium. Remember, there's Everybody thinks the electric car is the only way in which we're going to leave the fossil fuel industry, is that, remember, nuclear can create hydrogen, and hydrogen requires platinum and palladium. And remember, the electric car requires a lot of exotic metals. They're like cobalt and copper and nickel and some of the rare earths. And so they may at some point not be practical. And if you live in Europe, Dave, where are you going to charge your car? Okay. You know what I'm saying? They can't put the charging stations. You can't plug it into your garage, right? So you're going to have – electricity there is enormously expensive. And so, they're going to probably opt into a hydrogen economy over there as well. So platinum is going to be another long-term play. And then on the food side, it's really simple. The fertilizer stocks are going to keep paying. And then also you're going to want to own some of the wholesale and retail food companies, because when you have inflation, they're buying inventory at a lower price that they're selling it. Okay. I mean, that sounds obvious, but that's not always what happens, is that if you hold on inventory for a month and prices are going up 12% a year, you got an immediate 1% bump, right? And you didn't do anything. And so, remember, grocery stores operate on 1%, 1.5% margins, as a whole. So if they're getting a free ride 1% on a 12% inflation, which food inflation is going to go up 1% a month, is that you're going to food companies are going to be fine. I'm talking about grocery stores. And then there's some other what's called food transportation companies that are going to do fine as well. So those are the areas you can make money. And then at some point here soon, I think it's starting to happen now. Silver is starting to break its downtrend line now. Gold is behind it. And once silver goes, Dave, silver is like a rocket sled once the bankers lose control of that short book. Okay. Then they're going to cover fast, and you can see gold. I'm not making a prediction here, but you can see silver go from $23, $24 where it is today. $50 is a nothing burger, okay? And if you really want to be crazy, if you want to have crypto kind of talk, $600 for silver just brings it back into where it was against inflation in the 70s at its high, okay? So $50 silver in the 70s is worth a lot more than $50 today. So I think once it goes, it's really going to go. And you got to remember, if it gets too expensive for these miners to mine, that means they're not going to mine as much silver. So silver prices could really take off. So those are the areas I think you can make your money. And I wouldn't screw around with anything else. At some point, the FANG stocks and those things, and semiconductors already made their move, is that I think it's going to be like the 70s, where you're going to see the big name stocks get crushed and the money's going to pour into commodities. Look, the Biden administration is going to sell $1 trillion worth of infrastructure that's going to require all these commodities, so they're just going to keep going higher. And coal already had one big move. It's consolidating. Coal's going to get a second move too. China doesn't have enough energy.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you think that's why the planners for the climate change people are allowing China a grace period to catch up?
You mean besides that China bought all those people off?
Well, I don't know about that. But what I do know is China gets to come to the party late in terms of sacrifices they make to their economy and their energy to conform with these standards.
Yeah, China and India and Russia are just simply not going to do it.
Ever?
And so, yeah, this is the West committing suicide.
Wow. And let me tell you this. I understand what you're saying about clean up electric cars. But if we could clean up the batteries and things like that and have enough charging stations, it really is the way to go, as long as we have the infrastructure to support it.
Look, I'm not opposed. I mean, look, I've owned a solar energy company for 14 years. I'm not opposed to clean energy. In fact, I'm enamored by it all. What I don't like is that they're mandating a behavior change before the economy and people can afford it. And adapt to it. It should be a long-term plan. Look, over the next 30 years, we want to get to here and there, and just just keep developing the technology, people will start buying the things as they need to. You don't have to say we're going to phase this out or phase that out, because then you create these artificial shortages and problems. Look, solar energy in California was a great deal. Then the utilities came in and they found a way to screw it up, right? Now they went to time of use billing, and so now people have solar panels. They stop producing. They're selling their electricity back at a cheaper price than they have to buy it back between 4 and 9 p.m. So they say they want to do things, but the elites they're really not interested in that. They're really interested in controlling all aspects of your life. And they hate the fact that they can't control oil and natural gas, because it's not – you know, it's not something you can control in California or New York City. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So that's my issue with it, is that I don't think you ask any – look, there was just a poll came out this morning. Absolutely everybody believes that we should phase out fossil fuels and go clean. Who can argue with that?
No, I agree with that too. Yeah.
But are you willing to change your lifestyle in order to happen? 3% said yes.
I'm not willing I'm not willing to walk 20 miles to work, no.
Right. That's the dichotomy. You know, instead of saying, okay, I understand that, I recognize that, so let's slowly get there together, folks. Let's keep embedding technology, and federal government will invest in it to make it affordable, and eventually we'll turn it. What people don't understand about the alternate energy, Dave, is that southwestern United States can be totally solar. Not a problem. Okay? All right. The Great Plains states could be totally wind, not a problem.
True.
The eastern half of the United States has to use fossil fuels or nuclear. There's no – the physics demands it. There's not enough wind. It's not enough sun. You know, so it's kind of like this – you can't take the energy from California and send it to New York. The resistance in the electrical lines will preclude it. You know, and so it is. It's simply ridiculous. You know, I think the northern New England states can get hydro from Quebec, okay, but you're talking about from half of New Hampshire, Boston, all the way down, all the way to the Mississippi. You have to use either nuclear. Well, you have to use nuclear if you want to go clean.
Isn't nuclear considered to be on the good list, though?
Well, it is, but they're not investing in it yet. And so you still have a lot of NIMBY here, and the green energy people hate it because that's cheap. You're talking about 2 to 3 cents a kilowatt hour, you know?
Okay, so why do they hate that? I think that would be a good thing.
Yeah, and you have this pebble bed technology now that you can't have a 3 mile island, because you basically spread out the radioactive material wide enough that it can't get hot enough to melt down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So instead of control rods, they literally have pebbles that are mixed with some sort of neutron absorbing. So it can only get hot enough to boil the water, but it can't get hot enough to, you know, to basically melt through the ground like they did through my island.
Well, see, that's a good thing. I have a source in Palo Verde. And I know a lot that goes on out there that the public would be shocked if they knew. But essentially, I've been told the same thing. So I'm thinking that should be the way. If you can't adapt to solar and wind because you don't have the climate to support it, couldn't you then just go to nuclear? I mean, to me, that's the logical conclusion.
Yeah, of course it is. But what you can't once you produce electricity at 3 cents a kilowatt hour, It's hard to make people spend a whole lot of money, and you can't control people's lives, you know. So, I mean, we shut down 2 nuclear power plants here in California.
What was the reason behind that?
On natural gas out of Arizona.
Yeah, what was the reason for that?
One of them had a crack in the dome, and the other one was a seismic issue. So, but. It's just not in the plan. California thinks they can do everything with solar, but they're not producing it here. It's all being produced out of Arizona and Nevada. So
that makes sense.
It's crazy.
But I hear what you're saying, though. I got to tell you, I think that we're in a situation where Let me back up. I'm going to say it this way. I want to look more at the new Green Deal that they're attempting to pass in reconciliation and determine whether or not they're going to individualize it by geography and weather patterns. To me, that only makes sense. Do you know if they're going to do that, or is it just one size fits all?
No, and the federal government does something, it's always one size fits all. And it's going to be all about controlling your behavior. The Democrats know if they can shove you into cities, they can control the politics of the electorate. So they want to shove everybody. They want people dense, okay?
That's true. I saw that behavior with Obama. They did these federal experiments in St. Paul where they had higher gas taxes for the suburbs than they did in the inner cities, hoping that transportation costs would cause people to want to move closer to work. So that is a fact. I mean, I don't know how much of the new ecology this is a part of, but I know that Obama experimented with that. What about high-speed rail? What's your opinion on that?
I don't know how practical it is. I look out here in California, and you have to go too far to connect. Number one, to the rail. And number two, like, I'll give you an example. My mom, so I flew out to Virginia where my mom was born and raised in Pennsylvania. And so we finally moved her down, lived with my sister in Virginia Beach. Okay. So my mom went and visited friends back in Pennsylvania. And I have to set the story up for you so you can understand it. So then she was coming back down because my wife and I were going to fly out and see my sister and her in Virginia. So she went ahead and she booked a flight on Amtrak. So she had a drive from Allentown, Pennsylvania to Philadelphia to get on Amtrak. So that's a 50-mile drive. And then she had a drive. Then she took the train. Once you're in Philadelphia, you had to go from a diesel train, electric train, onto the diesel fast train. Well, it stops 19 times by the time it got to Virginia Beach. So it took my mom 9 hours to go from Virginia Beach, Pennsylvania, to Virginia Beach, plus the hour and a half to drive and wait for the train. So 10 and a half hours. She could have hopped on an airplane, and that cost her $120. She could have hopped on an airplane in Allentown, Pennsylvania, got to Virginia Beach in 2.5 hours, and the flight would have cost her $120. $109 one way. So until high-speed rail can provide some sort of value add, I don't think people are going to take it. So
yeah, well, it's kind of like when they have these inner-city rails, the light rail. You do have the park and rides, but 50 miles is excessive.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll look at my area here. So I live in Laguna Niguel, California. Orange County doesn't have like a city. It has a county seat, Santa Ana. And Anaheim is kind of a big convention area. If the city planners were smart about it, they would build up that area. We have a train that runs from Laguna Niguel up into Anaheim. So you would think if you want to catch a game, right? There's the Duck Pond there. There's the Anaheim Stadium, right? You just walk down to the train station, hop on the train to get there. Well, it doesn't work that way. you think you can hop on the train and get to LAX or hop on the train and get to Orange County Airport. There's no integration, Dave. I think they have to spend a lot of money integrating where people come and go before you start trying to create more high-speed rail. California's trying to create high-speed rail. First of all, they built it in the agricultural areas where nobody's using it.
Well, that's just stupidity. Because here, I will say this: in Phoenix, I don't think we should support light rail because I think we're too spread out. But where they do run it, makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think I'm a big fan of. Look, I would take the train. Look, my business partner lives in San Diego. Okay, we'll meet on the weekend because I could take a $10 all you can eat ride on the Metro Liner into Oceanside. Okay,
sign me up.
So I'll do that. But during the week, I couldn't do it because it's a $50 thing where I can hop in my truck, and I could be down there in 40 minutes, and it would cost me a fraction of that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to do these things, but it can't be so inconvenient and so expensive that it makes no sense whatsoever. And I don't think they really thought through what I call yield management, right? I don't know why we're not connected. LAX, Long Beach, Ontario, San Diego, and Orange County should all have rail pulling right into those airports.
I totally agree with that. And that's just, see, that's not the weakness in the idea. It's the weakness in the stupid people who can't implement it properly.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I think I would love to never get in my car, you know, to go fly somewhere because it costs me a fortune to park. You know, I would love to have, you know, but LAX, they stopped it short because they had pushback from, you know, the taxi drivers, the Uber drivers, the parking program at the airport itself. There were too many mouths to feed that politically they just didn't do it. Now they're doing it 10 years later, you know, when you can't even get into the airport. It takes you an hour to get to LAX from my house and then an hour to get from the entrance of LAX to get to your gate.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. We're supposed to be the best country in the world, and we have third world solutions.
I hear what you're saying. They're touting the train system, though, to take the place of airplanes. That's what I'm getting out of the new Green Deal.
Unless it's faster, it makes no – look, here's the tale, right? So where do you put the train to go to Vegas, right? I can leave my house and I can be in Vegas in 4.5 hours if there's traffic 5.5 hours. So the flight to Vegas is an hour. But I have to be at the airport. I have to be at the airport an hour and a half early, right? So now it's 2.5 hours. Okay, so the train has to be faster than that.
That's why they're talking about high-speed rail.
Right, but it has to be it has to be cheaper.
Interesting. Right? Yeah, you're right. You know where we're at.
Early, it costs me three times as much, right?
Yeah. No, I hear the cost. Yeah, and you're right. It has to be cost effective. The other thing, though, that I just wonder historically, if we're not at the time of the crossover between the horse and buggy and the Model T, and you know, you see these old pictures in New York City where you had the Model T, but you also have horses. And then the horses eventually become phased out because they can't go everywhere a car can once you built the roads. And see, what the lesson there was, you have to build the infrastructure before the car industry could take over from the horse and buggy.
Yeah, exactly. And look, you know, I think people get enamored with technology. You know, like they want the big – everybody – and it's just like trading. It's pretty funny. Everybody Everybody's going for the kill shot all the time. So, but instead of going to all the auto manufacturers and bring them in, say, look, I want, you know, a 5% improvement in mileage every year. Okay. And there's technology out there. You know, you can go to carbon fiber. You can make the cars lighter, right? There's adaptive brake technology that for hybrid cars, right? You know, with trucks, they streamlined the way the truck worked. You can constantly – there's new tire technology, right, that allow you to have less friction on the road. I mean, on it goes. I don't know why we don't just strive to be more efficient. At the same time, we're developing these follow-on technologies. And so – and it's not just with that. You know, it's, when I started in the solar business, is that we kind of were having a slight growth curve in terms of efficiency, and then the electrical engineers got involved and they moved it from the solar panels, which is more of a physics problem, to the inverters, which was more of an electrical engineering problem, And then we had a quantum leap in efficiency because they figured out how to drag, how to reduce the inefficiency of the loss between the panel and the inverter. Okay. And so they started to step up the efficiencies of the product. And at the same time, by getting the engineers involved, they lowered the cost of the installation. It used to take me 2.5 days to do an installation. And by the time I got out of the business, we can install a home in a day or less. I used to have to use more electricians than roofers. And now they basically engineered out the electricians that you literally, you get the roofer on there, they drop the panels and the racks, the inverters are embedded in the panels. And then the electric companies created this device that basically keeps you from having to go into the electrical panel to wire it. And it's just, all you do is you're just putting in one new connection from a circuit breaker. So I used to have a guy that would take 8 hours to rewire the panel and guys 12 hours to 20 hours to do the racking and then the inverters. And now I can get the guys on the roof for one day. I have an electrician for one day and I'm out of there. And so those are the things that we should always be striving for. But we don't do that because politicians want to be heroes, right? You know, you get up there, Dave, and say, hey, over the course of 4 years, I can make your child incrementally smarter. Or you're going to buy a guy who says, I can make your kid a genius, right? You're going to go to the shiny nickel. Although, you know, your plan will work, his plan gets the attention. And that's how politicians operate. So yeah, always nefarious. It's just the nature of humans.
Their appetite's bigger than their ability to provide. I hear you. I hear exactly what you're saying. So let's take this and wrap it up and say, how does this influence what you do at Trade Genius when you look at these logistical challenges that we're going to be facing? How does that affect what you do with investment?
It doesn't affect me at all because we think we're already well positioned. And so we're just going to continue to ride out this this move because it is secular, it's not transitory. And I think people are going to, what's going to happen, Dave, we're making good money now. And by the time people figure it out in the middle of next year, we'll be making awesome money because we're still ahead of the curve of belief. Okay, because the media hasn't changed on the narrative of this transitory. They're going to have to start accepting it going into next spring. And we'll already be well positioned in all these things.
Wow. That's it's encouraging for your people. It's very discouraging for everybody else.
Look, you know, life is this way. So if it wasn't one thing, it's another. I can't control any of that. I can only control my reaction or anticipation of these things.
No, I agree. I totally agree. And you just took the Gilda Radner approach. I remember hearing that line spoken by her many times. So going forward with this, you know, programs are going to mold. I mean, when I look at, for example, these eco programs, they're going to have to mold and adjust. They're going to have to. And if they don't, they're going to alienate the public and they'll fail on their own. Right now, most of the public seems willing to try. But I think it would really be affecting the investment. So let me ask you, out of the new Green Deal, is it the palladium and uranium and all? What's going to be the investment related to the new Green Deal?
Yeah.
We got about a minute.
Yeah. Uranium, own some. Platinum, own some. Here, look, you want to own CCJ, you want to own PLG. Okay. You want to own some XLE. All right. You want to own some MOS. And then when we talk in 2 weeks, I'll give people even some more opportunities.
No, that sounds really good. Well, let's, because I know we really piqued people's curiosity with your tremendous investment numbers and your success. So again, let's give out that website. It's tradelikeagenius.com or tradegeniusacademy.com. And you got a deal open until the 13th at midnight, which is 40% off the non-bundled items and 65% off the bundled items, which are your educational items and your ticket to get into the system. Did I say that correctly? And the coupon code is FALL.
Yep, you got it. And
did I got it all?
Check us out and join us. I think you'll be really happy with it.
Well, with those numbers, I'm telling you, you better have people standing by, because when this airs, and we're pre-recording right now, but when this airs, I think the explosion is going to happen because those numbers were fantastic. Bob, this was a fascinating discussion. I don't think I've heard such a common sense discussion on where we're going economically such as this. But thanks for joining us, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Yeah, well, we are on the Common Sense Show, Dave. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.